Diabetic foot disease, one of the most preventable complications of diabetes, yet one that silently leads to pain, infection, and even amputation. Every year, thousands of people lose mobility and independence because of foot problems that began with something as small as a blister or callus. Today on Vital Voices, we're shining a light on the signs, the science, and the steps that can save limbs and lives. Dr. Alyssa Knowles Adderley from Oak Tree Medical Center joins us to break it all down and share what every person living with diabetes should know.
Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us. In recognition of Diabetes Awareness Month, today's conversation focuses on a critical but often overlooked area of diabetic care, the feet. Diabetic foot disease is one of the leading causes of disability and amputation worldwide, yet with early detection and proper care, it's also one of the most preventable. Our guest today, Dr. Alyssa Knowles Adderley, is a podiatric physician and surgeon at Oak Tree Medical Center, where she treats a wide range of foot and ankle conditions and works with multidisciplinary teams to help patients stay active, healthy, and mobile. Together, we'll explore who's most at risk, the early warning signs to look out for, how to care for your feet daily, and what modern treatments are making a real difference. So let's get started. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was an awesome intro, by the way.
Thank you. So we, Diabetes Awareness Month every November, you have a lot of different conversations that happen, a lot of different things that happen. My wife and I, when we were looking at it, she was like, how do we want to talk about diabetes this year? And she was like, diabetic foot is something that it's out there. It's an issue. It's a complication that happens for a lot of people. And it's not necessarily, often one of the most discussed parts of the conversation. So we said, okay, let's tackle that. And we decided, let's bring you in so you can kind of share your expertise and your insight on the area, being someone who specializes in podiatrics and is also a physician and a surgeon. So you can give us kind of a wide range of, insight into how people should look at this, what they should be concerned about. So let's start at the beginning. Given, like I said, I don't think that this is a topic that's discussed enough. So let's start at the ground floor. For those who are unfamiliar, what exactly is diabetic foot disease and why is it such a major concern?
So diabetic foot disease, it basically refers to any condition that affects their feet as a result of diabetes. So things like nerve damage, poor circulation, if you have chronic wounds. And it's a major concern because those small problems can progress quickly. A minor blister can become a serious ulcer, or if infection, if it isn't noticed early enough, that can become a major issue. So when you combine loss of sensation with reduced blood flow, the body simply can't heal as well. And that's where the real danger lies.
Okay. We don't mind getting a little bit scientific and kind of digging into the meat of stuff a little bit. So how does high blood sugar actually damage the feet? In doing my research and talking with my wife, who's also a physician, we hear things like neuropathy, we hear things about poor circulation, but how does all that play together in terms of what actually leads to the damage of the feet?
So when blood sugars stay high for long periods, it damages the small nerves and the blood vessels in the legs and the feet. Okay, so neuropathy causes numbing. The patients complain of that numbness, that tingling. But what really happens is when you have the blood circulating in the sugar circulating in the blood, it goes to where it's supposed to go. But when there's excess just circulating, it starts to go places where it's not supposed to go. So it starts binding on the nerves in the feet, the hands, the eyes, the kidneys, and that's when it starts affecting those things negatively because that's not where it's supposed to go. So for example, in the feet, since we're getting scientific, it causes the myelin sheath, which is responsible for how the nerves interact or how it responds. It causes it to lose its function when it binds onto it. Okay. And it strips it of its function, then you start to lose that sensation of how the nerves protect you. The nerves tell you if this is too hot, this is too cold, this something is hurting me. Your body's no longer protecting yourself. So as a diabetic, you then have to now protect yourself because you can't trust your nerves to do it.
Right, because basically it forces you to become acutely aware of what's going on with your feet.
Exactly.
Because you're not getting the same sensation as somebody else who maybe doesn't have diabetes, doesn't have this issue. Okay, so that's what it is. It actually affects the nerves, and then that numbness means you can't feel. So if you step on a thumbtack, for example,
that could be sitting there for days.
And you wouldn't know, because mm-hmm. you don't feel it, because the nerves are essentially damaged, broken.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, understood. So let's look at some of the risks and warning signs. There's multiple types of diabetes. You know, we had Dr. Carmen Cartwright on the show talking about, you know, trying to reverse pre-diabetes and, you know, put type 2 diabetes in remission. So we know there's gestational, there is type 1, type 2, pre-diabetes. There's a wide range of it, right? But when you think about it in terms of how this plays into diabetic foot issues, right? Who would be most at risk for developing diabetic foot complications?
The people most at risk are the ones who are not being ahead of what's happening, or not taking it, I don't want to say use the word seriously, but just not on top of how their sugar is affecting their lives. So obviously people with long-standing diabetes, over time, it just kind of wears down on the body, no matter how in tune and how on top of things you are. After about 30 years, it could start to, you know, wear down. So they're at risk. And then again, those who are not controlling their blood sugars, you know, the best way to be on top of it is to make sure at minimum you're having in your day-to-day your blood sugars controlled. And then those who already have developed neuropathy, then that puts you at risk for foot disease. Those who have poor circulation, and it could be due to even other things, but you know, diabetes affects the small vessels, so it makes you more prone to circulatory issues.
Right.
And then once you already have a history of foot ulcers or amputations, then you're already more vulnerable.
Right.
But then to note, outside of that, you're a diabetic and you're a smoker. So smoking also plays a role, you know,
It drives the risk up.
There you go. So smoking, if you already have kidney disease, the vision problems, that all adds to the risk.
Mm-hmm. So for someone who's listening, who may be a diabetic, knows that and is kind of aware that this might be a complication that pops up, or even for somebody who may not know that they're a diabetic yet, but they may have warning signs, like even with their feet, that may say, hey, I might need to go and get this checked out, right? What are some of the earliest warning signs that people should not ignore? So, you know, that if you have this, whether it's a sensation, a feeling, an issue that says, okay, I need to go and look into this, whether you're a diabetic known or not.
You know, a lot of people, they start off with that, the very slight tingling. And that's one of the most common, especially those who aren't diagnosed yet. They come in, they may see me before they see their primary. I've been feeling this tingling in my feet. Yes. And then I said, well, you know, are you a diabetic? No, I haven't been diagnosed. Or they said I was pre-diabetic, but I'm not on medication yet. You know, so that's an indication that, you know, your sugar levels might be climbing up. So then I would order, you know, just the basics. And a lot of times we diagnose right there. And then we have to do the whole, you know, the reverse, as opposed to the primary doctor sending to me, I have to then, you know. So that happens. So again, the tingling is a big thing. And now with diabetics, if you're already a known diabetic, any changes in skin color, swelling, redness, warmth, drainage from a small wound or sore, something that's not healing well, they're all red flags. And as simple as even just some thick calluses, ingrown toenails, if you're a known diabetic, that could be something as minor as that can cause a big problem if left untreated. Yes.
Didn't know that. The ingrown toenails one is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting that sometimes people end up coming to your doorstep first. And I think it just goes to, you know, we always talk about hypertension as this, you know, the silent killer. But I think in the same way, if you're not doing, and obviously you spoke to this, like doing your primary care checkups, kind of knowing what's going on with your body. But if you're not doing that, you could end up in a situation where you land here. Now, I do have an interesting follow-up question to that. And pardon me if it's a silly question, but is there like a particular part of the foot? So like, for example, right? You know, you buck your toe, you know you buck your toe, right? And you should know that hurts like hell when you buck your toe. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. But it's like, is there a particular area of the foot where, like, you would feel it first, where you'd be most concerned? Like, or is it just any, like, tingling or numbness anywhere in the feet?
It typically, and of course, everything is, you know, I'm going, typically starts with the digits.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then toes. It kind of creeps its way up. Neuropathy. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it works.
Okay.
But it starts at the tips of the toes, literally.
So if you buck your toe and it's still hurting like hell, you probably, okay.
No, that's no, because again, the neuropathy is not gonna just be today you wake up and all of a sudden you lose complete sensation.
It builds.
Okay,
that's fair, but that's good for people to know. Yeah. Right, because you want to have a really good understanding from a layman's perspective, like what should I be looking out for. So why is it that some patients don't feel pain even when there's serious damage? I think you kind of spoke to this a little bit. If there's anything you can expand on that in terms of the numbness, the tingling, that process, is there anything else that you can add to that?
So just know that neuropathy, it blocks your pain signals entirely.
Because it's a nerve issue.
So diabetics, they love to tell me, but I don't feel any pain. No, you don't feel any pain. That is the problem right there. That's your problem. Right? So instead of pain, people might notice a stain on their sock or a foul smell. That may be something that kind of brings them. They'll see not the pain, but some symptom of it.
Right.
But this is why regular foot checks are so important. And the key point here is that you cannot rely on pain as your warning sign.
Right, because I guess in a lot of ways, in other areas of medicine, that's what we rely on, right?
Right.
So it's like, you know, if I'm coughing and I cough just hurting my chest a little bit too much, I get concerned, right?
Right.
You know, or if I have a stomach issue and, you know, I'm retching and it's just like, it's really that bad, or, you know, it's lasting. It's things where it's, for a lot of other things, it's obvious.
Right.
For this one, the pain, utilizing that is not.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. Because we're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation. So, you know, what is an ideal daily foot care routine look like for someone who has diabetes? So, like, you've been to your physician, you're diagnosed, you know that it's going on, you know now that this is something that you have to be aware of. What does that look like? How do people, you know, take care of their feet in a way to try and prevent this issue?
It's pretty basic, but it's missed entirely sometimes by a lot of people. But it's the basic. You just check the tops of your feet, the bottom of the feet. You check between the toes. Wash them, mild soap, water. And, oh, this is another thing. When it comes to the water, you always check the temperature of the water before just putting your foot in. because you can be there in steaming hot water and not realize, and then show up in the office with a big blister burn, not realizing that the water is too hot. So you always want to check the temperature before you then enter.
Right, with your hands, not your feet.
With your hands, yeah. Okay. You want to keep them moisturized because if the diabetes is affecting the circulation, sometimes you can get that dryness, and then it puts you at risk for developing ulcers. You want your skin to be nice and lubricated to avoid any nicks and scratches that can then become a ulceration. But then moisturize the feet, but not in between the toes, because that area kind of can build up more sweat. So you want to keep that nice and dry between the toes, but the tops and the bottoms moisturized.
And that has been moist enough on its own. I had another question in terms of warning signs. You know, people talk about, especially like people who work desk jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And you might have on like long socks all day, and you take off your socks and you see like ridges, like either at the top or at something that basically where it may look like fluid. Is that something that would be a warning sign for people to say something might be wrong? Or is that just like one of those things where it's like you can't be sure?
I won't say that. I mean, if you're a diabetic, then no, you should not be wearing socks that have ridges. You want your socks to be nice and seamless.
Fair.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're a non-diabetic, that's not necessarily a concern for diabetes. It just may mean that your feet were hanging down for too long. And, you know, you start to develop a little bit more fluid building up in the area. You need to elevate. And there's a whole range of things range of reasons why that could be happening. So it's not necessarily an indication, oh, you're a diabetic because you had ridges after you took your socks
right.
off.
Right. Fair enough. Because like I said, you know, sometimes too, I try to manage when we have these conversations is people be like, oh, and now you don't want to necessarily just develop fear. It's like, okay, let's kind of work through all of the things where people think about, well, that happens to me. Is that a concern? And
right.
kind of be able to dispel some of that as we go through, right?
Because mm-hmm.
You want people to be informed, but not just running around in fear either.
Exactly.
There's that line you want to toe very gently.
Exactly.
Now, you started to talk about this a little bit just now, but mm-hmm. what advice do you give to patients about choosing the right shoes and socks?
So obviously nothing too tight. You want support is number one. You want to make sure your arches are supported, your ankle is supported. And I'm not saying you have to wear a high top ankle shoes. I'm just saying that whatever you choose, make sure it keeps your foot in a stable position. Avoid narrow or pointed styles that rub, cause friction. And then we talk about the socks. The socks should be seamless, moisture wicking, you know. And non-constricting. And if your shoes feel tight by the end of the day, then maybe that's a sign that it's not the right fit for you.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. So this is another obviously interesting question in this regard too. Like, is it safe for someone who has diabetes to walk barefoot at home, at the beach, in their yard? Is there a concern there in terms of safety, obviously, given what you're saying about the numbness and things
mm-hmm.
like that?
So as a diabetic, it's never a good idea to walk barefoot anywhere in your house, out, and definitely not outdoors, whether it's the beach or outside in your yard. It just opens you to a potential risk for something sharp that may or may not injure you. And then the concern is not necessarily, oh, I stepped on this. It's how your body is going to heal that afterward.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's that part of the process. I know that's, and I think we're going to get into that a little bit, that healing process is where the issue really lies
right.
on the back end of this. Is the injury is one thing, but it's the second part of that, which
it's your
is
body's
healing
response
process.
To it. Right.
Right. You know, what is the best way for patients to manage like nail and skin care safely? Because obviously when you talk about your feet, and I'm going to go and make sure that we're talking about this from both ways, because like people are going to hear this and be like, oh, that's for women, because you're talking about like if they want to get their pedicures. And it's like, no, just in terms of the general care of, because men have, we have some nasty feet sometimes. The toenails will be doing some strange things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what's the best way for patients to manage that with this consideration in mind, especially if they're a diabetic already?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of podiatrists, they do not recommend pedicures at all. I'm not one of them. I am okay with pedicures as long as you're blood sugar levels are fine. And I'm not talking about the one you just took that morning. I'm talking about your blood work, your hemoglobin A1C. As long as that's in the safe range, I'm okay with you going to somewhere that's going to use sterile instruments and stuff on you. Obviously, I don't want them going crazy. Trim the nails straight across, file the edges gently, you know, and just you always let that person know that I am a diabetic, so let's be mindful. And they're most places are pretty good about if they are going to treat a diabetic. But if your A1C is not controlled, 8 and above or even close to 8, and above, then it's a no for me. You're not going to go anywhere, you know.
Fair enough. Now, I'm going to ask this question gently. Okay. What about, because, you know, there's always a lot of interesting things when it comes to beauty and cosmetics and things like that. So what about the, you know, people now are having the pedicures with, like, the little fish and stuff. Like, would you recommend that for a patient? Is that something you just say, that one altogether, you just, like, stay away from?
Yeah. Okay. That's a no.
Okay, fair enough. Because like I said, there's always something new and creative in the space. So it's like, you know, let's make sure we're thinking all the way through.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Gotcha. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation. All right, so, you know, let's take a look at, you know, the care and the screening process, because we are obviously a space where we love to look at this from a preventative standpoint as much as possible. But then you also want to give people just some guidance and some help to kind of calm the fears, because a lot of times, you know, people still do have a lot of fear about engaging with healthcare. And so you want to kind of talk about, you know, what can you expect in going through if you need to get care, or if you're in a space where you just need screening, you know, what that looks like. So for you, from your end as a podiatrist, what would you say patients can expect if they're coming in to do a screening with you and they're a diabetic patient?
The process is very easy, seamless. We have a good time. We talk. I think what I focus on, what's most important to me, is that you know what your levels are. So I always start with the education first. I like to know that you know everything that's going on with you. You know exactly what diabetes is. You know what your numbers are. That means a lot to me when you first come into the office. What was your last A1C? I don't like to hear, oh, I don't know. Oh, go look in the chart. I can look in the chart, but I want to know that you know, so that you know whether or not it's trending up or trending down. Because I think it starts there. As long as you, when you have a better understanding of what's going on, your treatment is then better.
Okay.
But then as for me, then after we get through the whole education part, then I look for any skin changes. I look for ulcers. I look for any pressure points that could become an ulcer so that I can show you where to focus and what to make sure when you are checking your feet, making sure this doesn't become a blister, making sure this isn't rubbing. And then we check your circulation, right? I check your pulses. And if they're good just from my, I can feel them with my hands, then we're good. If I'm not able to palpate them with my hands, because you have pulses in your feet, just so you have it on your wrists and your neck. Me?
I'm like, you're talking about the wrist, you're talking about the neck? We're checking
the
pulse.
You have pulses, you have two major pulses in your feet. And if I can feel both of them perfectly fine, then awesome. But if we need to do additional testing to make sure you are getting enough circulation to your feet, then we do that because the feet are the last place that the blood reaches.
Right.
It goes everywhere else before it goes there.
Before it lands there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, and then we also use monofilament, which is basically like a small little stick where I check different areas in your feet to see how your sensation, to see, check your nerves and to see if you're losing any nerve function or if everything is good. So the screening is quick, painless, and extremely valuable for early detection.
Do you have to close your eyes for the monofilament?
I do test? Make my patients close their eyes.
Because they're like, I can see it. Yeah,
I
right
know.
There.
I'm like,
I
put your head back and close your eyes.
All right. You know,
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
What I also like, I like when they do bring family members, because a lot of times they don't realize that they're not feeling, and then the family member, you know, the one who's in the house with them, you didn't feel any of that that she just did. So then they're more on top of them at home as well.
Right.
I like for them to see that so that they have a better, it's always good when everybody in the household has a better understanding of what's going on so they can support it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. There's a lady that I've done some work with in the past, and she's in the weight loss and nutrition space. And she always said, if the family is doing it together, it's so, you see it in the results. The results are always better when the whole house is involved in it. So I imagine in the same way here, because now you have support, you have knowledge of what's going on, and then you're better equipped to support the person who's walking through it, you know, to be able to go through it and to keep them accountable and to help to check and say, hey, how are your feet doing? Let me take a look.
Definitely.
And, you know, that sort of thing, which is good. You know, and I guess to take it a step further, how often then should people with diabetes see a podiatrist like yourself for preventative care?
So this is similar to my reasoning is similar to if I allow you to go to a pedicurist or not.
Mm-hmm.
How controlled are you?
Fair.
If you're super controlled, maybe you can see me annually.
Mm-hmm.
If you are like borderline, then let me see you twice, you know, twice a year. And then if you're uncontrolled, I'm seeing you every 3 months. We're seeing each other quarterly.
Right.
You're on top of it.
Because you have to be on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to make sure there's nothing, because things can happen so quickly, you know, especially if the higher your A1C is, and I guess we could probably dive into that too. The higher your A1C is, the less response you're going to get from your body for healing.
Right.
So your goal at home is to make sure that A1C comes down as closer to 6 as possible.
And this is one of those areas, obviously, where, you know, in the open, we talked about the fact that you work, you know, in a multidisciplinary space. Mm-hmm. So I imagine there's a lot of working hand in hand, either with like an endocrinologist like Dr. Cartwright, or with, you know, some of the primary care physicians, things like that, because you're not necessarily the one that's checking the A1C, not necessarily.
Right.
Right. But
I will check it and I will refer.
Right. But then you have that communication and you have the information being shared so that you know what's going on, to know to say, hey, well, you know. And then I guess the same way they know, if they're seeing the numbers aren't being controlled, then it's like you need to check in with
that's
your
exactly how it goes. We do really well with that over here at Oak Tree. Especially Dr. Cartwright and I, we work really well together. Mm-hmm. She always said, okay, this one is kind of uncontrolled. Let me send you here to make sure.
Right.
And then vice versa. Dr. Cartwright, this person is an undiagnosed diabetic that we just found out. A1C is sky high. I told them you're the best person to get this under control. So it is a multidisciplinary approach, and that this works best for patients.
I mean, that's how you get holistic care, right? Is you have people with their own areas of expertise, but where they overlap and intersect, you work together as a team so that the patient gets the best care. You know, are there special devices or supports? You know, you hear the word orthotics a lot, that help reduce foot problems for diabetic patients.
Yeah, so orthotics is huge. And then not just the orthotics you would use for your everyday sports patient. You want to use orthotics with a special padding specific for diabetics.
Okay.
That would help a little bit more with offloading and pressure areas and be a little bit more accommodative for them, because you don't need anything that's going to cause any pressure or friction as well.
Right.
So yes, custom orthotics or even the prefabricated orthotics can relieve pressure, improve balance. And then they also have diabetic shoes. If it comes to that, you know, if you're not able to find, because sometimes, you know, diabetes can cause issues that cause reshaping of your foot. And some people may have to then venture on into diabetic shoes that have extra depth and cushioning to protect those toes and the joints.
So you're not necessarily just talking about, like, you know, for example, like you have Dr. Scholl's and they have, you know, this padding and cushion and memory foam and all these things. You're talking about, because you mentioned custom. So I guess you're, like you're saying, if your feet are being reshaped, then it's like it might not just be as simple as buying something that you just walk into a regular shoe store and get.
Right. Am I understanding that correctly? Then pretty much. So prefabricated, that's pre-made orthotics, that's not custom for you. I mean, they serve a purpose, but again, it's not custom for you. So it's kind of a, you know, almost like a one size fit all. Like, they have a certain amount of each sizes and you kind of have to figure out which one is going to work best. Mm-hmm. Versus the custom made one, it's going to fit all of your imperfections, yeah. You know, custom.
Basically, you have a Joey. Mm-hmm. All right. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So, you know, moving on into the space now where you're talking about, because you mentioned this, you know, a couple of times along the way, you started to talk about ulcers and wounds and infections and things like that. And obviously, you mentioned it early on and we mentioned in the open, something as simple as a blister or a callus can turn into a very serious issue. So how does that work? Like, how does something as simple as a blister or a callus turn into a serious foot ulcer?
Right. So it starts with the neuropathy, the poor sensation, right? So you end up getting some type of, you may have friction at a pressure point, maybe you have a small bunion and you're getting friction in the shoes there, and that you end up with a little blister. And if you had more sensation in your feet, it might not even have gotten to a blister, because you would have, oh, this is hurting me, let me take this off. But here you are walking around in the shoes not realizing that you are developing a blister because it's not giving you pain. This, you know, goes back to, you know,
the earlier part of,
oh, this wasn't even hurting. And mm-hmm. I took my shoe off and there's the blood. You know, that happens a lot. So anyway, so then you have that. So that's the cause of, or that's the reason why you were able to get this blister or small wound in the first place. And now you have the diabetes affecting the small blood vessels, which allow for the healing, allow for the oxygen, allow for all the good stuff to come and heal. And but that's not working well. So you have the sensation that caused the problem, and now the thing that's supposed to heal it is not working well either. And the blood is not able to, you're going to need a little bit more support to get it to close. Now, if you don't give it that support to get it to close, an open wound is a risk factor for bacteria, anything to get in. That can cause an infection. So then don't wait until that happens before you come, you know, don't wait until it's a big, big problem to come and seek treatment. Because as a diabetic, you know, just a Band-Aid at home, it may not be enough for you. You're going to have to come see us so we can get it to close as quickly as possible prior to an infection taking place.
So I have a follow-up question here that wasn't on our original list, but it came to me as you were talking. You know, what would be a time frame? Because you talk about it not healing quickly, right? And I guess this is more so for the space where somebody might be diabetic, but they don't know, right? And so you're hearing this thing about, well, you know, if you have a cut and it takes too long to heal, what is that? Now, I know this is probably a wide range, but practically speaking, like if someone got a cut on their finger or a cut on their foot, what would be, okay, this is taking too long to heal and I need to go and kind of get some help. What would that time frame look like?
Okay, and this is specifically for a non-diagnosed.
Yeah, because I think that's a space where it could be helpful to answer that question for people who might not know.
So if it's been 5 to 7 days and you're not seeing any progress, you need to come in. Fair enough. Now, if you're a diabetic, immediate.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a diabetic, you know you don't play, you come in.
Yeah.
Now, if you're supposed to be a non-diabetic and wait, it's been a week now and it looks the same.
Right.
You know, fair or enough. It's getting worse.
Right. Well, because that's the other side now. Yeah. You might be into the space of infection, things like
right.
that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's good because I think when Dr. Cartwright and I talked about this, she did indicate like there's the people that don't know. And so it's like, even if you could kind of say, well, listen, if you see that and you see it's been that amount of time and it's not healing properly, now it's like, I may have to go in and see someone because there might be something wrong.
Because
here.
Your body is supposed to heal this,
within that time frame. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, good. Now, I think you answered this obviously a little bit just now, but what should a person do, especially if they're diabetic, immediately if they notice a new wound on their foot?
Now, if they're a diabetic, you're going to clean it with some saline. And a lot of diabetics,
not hydrogen peroxide?
No.
I ask it because, you know, that's what we do, right?
Love. It's not the end of the world, but please just...
Saline.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they are pretty good with having their, the ones that, you know...
If you know.
Are on top. If they know and, you know, they're good about it and they, you know, they get their physicals and they get their blood work, they always have their goodie bag of...
They got their stuff.
They have their stuff. So I just... Clean it right away. Make sure there's no, if you made the mistake of walking outside barefoot, now you don't make sure you don't have any soil or anything in there. So just clean it gently and cover it with a sterile dressing and then see your physician right away. Okay, so like if it happened overnight but it's not maybe urgent care worthy or emergency, you know, you can wait till the next day to come in.
Now humor me. What's the issue with peroxide?
So it's not a huge issue, but then sometimes... It's hard on the actual good tissue.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so it can, depending on what bacteria is there, help and combat the bacteria. But then sometimes it can be hard on the actual good tissue that you need to.
Right.
And the same thing with iodine. It helps keep a lot of bacteria away, but it's damaging to the healthy tissue that you want it to heal.
Right. Okay, fair enough. But that's helpful. Yeah. What are the signs the warning signs, that a foot infection has become an emergency?
You got that redness, swelling, odor, that foul smell sometimes that you get with some diabetic wounds. You may have a fever, you know? Yes, your body's response to trying to get something to happen. So these are urgent signs, especially if you're getting a fever, then you know this is beyond just a local infection. It might be more of a systemic issue. You know, and if you see any discoloration of your skin, and not just that, not just the redness, but sometimes you get that darkening and that grayish. The grayish sign is like, that's the, you know,
ultimate warning sign.
Mm-hmm, that is severe infection. So, and then if the redness is spreading, if it's going up higher than where the wound is, you know, you need to go straight to the emergency room because these are limb threatening issues.
So, you know, I always laugh. I tell people that I ask questions that sound like I'm a doctor, but I'm not. I just play one on TV. My wife is a doctor, and so a lot of these come from just our conversations.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people, if you are familiar, if maybe you've had a relative or you may be a diabetic yourself and you've heard like people go in for debridement and things like that, obviously that's one of the common things that people will do. I think that, and that's if you have a more serious issue. But what, you know, have there been any advancements in technology and treatments that are available for people who may be at a point where it's developed into like a diabetic foot ulcer?
That's a great question. There's lots of advancements. But my mentor, actually, we used to talk about this all the time, especially when I was in training. None of that matters if the key thing is not under control. You can put all of your fancy graphs and everything, but if you're not controlling your sugar, it's not going to work.
No, because you're not dealing with the systemic issue.
Exactly. But there's loads of stuff. That's a topic for another day.
Gotcha.
You know, but there's lots of graphs and biologics and stuff that you can use.
Right.
And they will speed things up. But if the inside is not controlled,
you're going to be back here in another couple of weeks.
You're wasting $20,000 worth of products.
Right. Fair enough. No, and that's good. I mean, I think that's the core thing too. And I'm glad that you're kind of reiterating that message, because keeping the numbers under control is the primary thing. Because that then makes a lot of this other stuff just less likely to be
there.
There
you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Fair enough. Now, obviously, and I feel like especially in our country, I don't know the rates offhand in terms of the rate of diabetics, but I do know that, and again, I have to go by the fact that my wife is a physician, and so I've heard way too many stories. Right. But, you know, amputation is obviously a big concern and risk when it comes to people who have diabetes, especially when you get into issues with the feet. You know, what factors put someone at risk of amputation?
So that poor circulation, that's number one. Or if you have an ulcer that developed an infection and then it went to the bone, and now you have what we call osteomyelitis, which is an infection of the bone, which can rapidly spread and keep going up. Sometimes the best treatment for that is just to resect it until you have the healthy bone. Resecting meaning amputation, you know
right.
what I mean? And then, what was the second part of your question?
No, it's just, what are the risk factors for someone, like what puts them at a greater risk for amputation?
And then of course, just your regular, if you're a smoker, high blood sugar, those things, they put you at a higher risk for amputations. But the key point is that a lot of this is preventable.
If you control the sugar.
If you control the sugar, as well as if you just see care prior to it becoming a bigger issue.
Right.
You know, prevention is key. If you're on top of your quarterly or annual evaluations.
Right. Fair enough.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
You know, this journey, especially once you have a chronic condition, it is very much a partnership between patient and their healthcare team. Because obviously, if someone is seeing you, they're seeing Dr. Cartwright, or they're seeing their primary care physician, there's a whole team involved, and that patient is obviously a part of the team. Mm-hmm. But what can patients and their healthcare teams do together to lower the risk when it comes especially to something like amputation? Because obviously that's a life-changing event.
Yeah, so regular screenings. You see, however often you have to see your primary doctor, your endocrinologist, and your podiatrist, mm-hmm. which is me, you make sure you see those appointments are scheduled in. So the regular screenings, your tight blood sugar control, they have the continuous glucose monitoring that you could be on top of your sugars all the time. And Dr. Cartwright, I'm sure she's great with that, making mm-hmm. sure you get access to that. And then any prompt wound treatment. So anytime you have a wound that needs to be addressed immediately and until that's closed. So the team-based care makes a huge difference. So when you have your podiatrist, your endocrinologist, your even the vascular specialists who help with the circulation, mm-hmm. when they all work together, limb-saving outcomes improve.
Awesome. You know, we like to tell stories on this show. We consider ourselves storytellers to a degree. you know, can you share a story or an example where, you know, whether this is you or even just like during your training, whatever it may be, where early podiatric care helped prevent a serious outcome?
Early. Actually, there was a patient, and this would have been maybe 2 years ago. And she came in, she was a diabetic. She came in and she said, she just developed this redness on the top of her foot. No idea where it's coming from. And that was it's all cellulitic, meaning that the redness is spread like way beyond the initial spot, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, what is happening here? Like, you know, I'm looking for, we did x-rays, nothing's broken. And I'm like, we just have to go to the operating room and just try to open this and clean it up. And, you know, you're on antibiotics for a week. Nothing's helping this improve. Like, what is happening? You know, maybe I have to just open this little area and see if there's any underlying pus, for lack of a better word, and just, you know, flush it out. We go in there and so the day of surgery, she's coming back. Maybe a day, we're going in the case. All of a sudden, the foot looks better. And I was very close to just canceling. Okay, no, we're on the right track. Everything is good. And then I said, you know what? Let's still go. Did it. Why is there glass in your foot? Why is on top of your foot, not even at the bottom? How did glass get on the very top? And then the thing with glass is that it doesn't always show up on x-ray.
Right.
So, yes. So the mere fact that she came in as soon as she noticed the change in color, mm-hmm. helped, because if that is, you know, as a diabetic, having that sit there, that's a big issue.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
That's crazy to think about, though, because it's like the bottom of your foot is one thing. It's like the top of the foot, it would almost be like something fell, and in the process,
and you would have had to know something
right.
fell.
And so it's very that, but I guess it goes to show just how far the neuropathy can go.
There you go. So something fell, and she didn't think she didn't feel anything.
She thought nothing of it.
She didn't have any pain. Mm-hmm. You know.
Goes back to your earlier point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. That could have been a bigger issue had she not come in, you know.
Right, and then even just proceeding to just say check it out anyway, just to be sure.
I was very close to, because it did improve, like. That when we were about to go in surgery, I took off the dressing. I'm like, this is a drastic improvement. It looked like it was improving. And I said, let's just go. And there, you know, because if we left it, it would have just done the whole thing over again.
Right.
With the cellulite.
Right. It was just, right.
Because the body wants it out. It's a foreign body. The body wants it out.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, your bodies go very far in trying to mm-hmm. deal with stuff when they're trying to get it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move ahead to, you know, a broader conversation about prevention. And I guess this ties into the conversation we have with Dr. Cartwright a little bit about, you know, the potential for remission and things like that. But, you know, you obviously have mentioned, you know, if you're a smoker, quit smoking, things like that. But what other lifestyle changes can people take on that can make, you know, a big difference in their feet and their the health and the care of their feet?
So, like we said, I'm harping on this, but the number one thing is your glucose control. So that helps with your sensation, that helps with your circulation, and it just helps with your overall health, right? So implement things at home where you just focus on your nutrition. And then we have a nutritionist here at Oak Tree who can help you set up.
She's excellent.
Right, set mm-hmm. up a good regimen mm-hmm. that would work with you, you know, and work with your lifestyle and work with your family. So that's one thing. So that will help. The key is making sure your glucose levels are under control and everything else kind of just tapers down right after that. And it helps your body's ability to heal. Patients who keep their numbers within good range, they very rarely have significant, I shouldn't say very rarely, but, you know, they're less likely to have those complications that we see in people who just do not control their blood sugars.
You know, how much does hydration fit into this conversation in terms of wound healing, things like that? Does people say get your 8 glasses of water today as just a general rule, but in terms of in this particular area, is that something that people should be concerned about? Is it just like, you know, make sure you're doing well enough? What does that look like?
So hydration is just, that's just one of those things where it's, in every aspect of life, it's necessary. It doesn't matter. There's no way, it's not specific for just diabetic wounds or for anything. It's just overall, it just helps the body.
Yeah.
But what may be missing sometimes with patients and water, they may drink excessive amounts of water, but they don't have enough electrolytes in their diet mm-hmm. to help the muscles then get that water into the muscles.
Yeah.
So that's what I think may be, you know.
And I've come to the realization that people can be very different with that, right? So it's like, you know, I'm a person who I can drink water and I'm fine, but I know people who where it's like, no, if it's not like, they need to have coconut water involved in it, because they need the electrolytes. And so it's like, if they drink, they and I can drink the same amount of water, but they don't necessarily feel the same amount of hydrated.
Exactly.
And so I think it's good to even point that out for people as well, because like, if you're drinking your water and you're not feeling hydration, you might need to add in something. Like, now obviously I'm gonna go for the coconut water over something like Gatorade, because then you have the sugar part of it.
There you go.
Especially when you're talking about diabetics. But like, yeah, like definitely lean into a healthier space for getting that those electrolytes in, because that's a consideration as well.
There you go. You nailed it.
Yeah, because not all water is created equal, right? And everybody's different. I think that's the thing too. I think we have to make sure that we don't necessarily talk about things. Like, obviously there are gonna be things that are general rules, mm-hmm. but then there are just these slight differences with people where, you know, just bear that in mind, because it might be a little bit different for you. All right. So, you know, looking at, you know, the Bahamian context, because, and this is very much a like, I wonder if this matters. Are there unique challenges that patients face with footwear, heat, our environment? Like, you know, we live in a very hot country. How much of a role does that play, or does it not matter?
No, it matters. It's so hard, even for patients who have to say wear compression socks for, it's, they're like, doc, you see how hot outside? You really want me to wear this? And I get it, you know? And then on top of that, we live in a climate where we could wear sandals year round.
I know, right?
You know, so who wants to then put on these heavy diabetic shoes, you know, or something? So, but you have to be compliant. If you really want the best outcome, you know, it's just best to be compliant. But there are, in these days now, there are some options that allow a little bit of both. You know, you have the Vionic slippers. That's a craze around here. The patients love it because they still get the support, but they still can wear their sandals. Vionics, they love those ones. And then, you know, I'll recommend, like, even some Birkenstock. Like, if you are going to wear the sandals, at least look for some sandals that has some arch support, or have, you know, like more of a rigid bottom, not just flimsy flip-flops. So just, you know, you have to find a middle ground.
I'm not gonna bring up Crocs because we had the physio team on and they shut Crocs down.
They're super comfortable for a lot of patients, but they don't have much support and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that they saw people running in Crocs and it made them cringe because it's like there's no support.
I just had a patient who, I'm not even going to detail about the tendon, but bottom line, she gave herself significant pain for months because she decided to go walking in Crocs. Yeah, you can't do that.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Crocs got a bad name on the show. all right, so we also like to give people an opportunity to talk about myths and misconceptions that people may have, especially about a topic like this. So I'm going to give you your space. What are some misconceptions about diabetic feet, diabetic foot care that you would like to correct?
I just think the main one, we talked about it already, the main one is like, the doctor, it's not hurting me, you know, so I just don't like, if it don't hurt, don't leave it alone, right. You know, that's a big myth with diabetics. And then another thing is, what I don't like to hear is, I just got a little touch of sugar. That drives me insane. Yeah, no, you're a diabetic.
I just play with sugar a little bit.
So I think just take it a little bit more seriously because it can be very detrimental if you don't stay on top and stay in control of these things, you know. Or when I just don't minimize the diagnosis, right. Accept it, and then work to reverse it.
Yeah, because sometimes people tend to live in certain things in extremes, right? So healthcare is one of them. Either it's like, yeah, I'm not claiming that doesn't exist.
I'm not claiming that.
Right. Or, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it because I have a diagnosis. And I think what you're advocating for is a healthy middle ground where it's like, I have this thing, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to keep it under control. I'm doing my screening, I'm doing my checkups, I'm getting my, you know, I'm keeping it under control, I'm changing my lifestyle, all of these sorts of things so that you take it seriously and you operate in that way. Not to say, you know, you're doom and gloom and the world is ending, but also not to be like, well, I just have a touch of it, this ain't real.
Right.
It's that middle ground is safe because now you're acting appropriately for what your diagnosis
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
All right. If you had to give your top three daily tips for protecting your feet, what would they be?
Top three dailies.
Check your feet. That's number one. Mm-hmm. You have to check it because you can be right. You just put your eyes on it. You'd be surprised how many people they do not even look at their feet. Yeah. You know, even in the shower, they just do the, you know, and just reach down. So just look at them. And then, you know, some people are unable to look at the bottom of their feet. So have a family member, take a mirror, do something just so that you can share. You can put eyes on it and do that daily. Wear the shoes, of course, that protect you. And then never ignore a change in your foot, even a small one. At least get, you know, do your due diligence and get it checked out to make sure this small change can't later become a bigger problem.
And then what final message would you want to leave listeners with, especially those who have diabetes or their family members, to remember about foot health?
Prevention is the best treatment. So if we're on top of it before it becomes a problem, then maybe it'll never become a problem. Your feet carry you through every part of life and they deserve attention. And small, consistent habits can make the difference between a minor issue and a life-changing complication.
All right. And obviously, you know, let the people know how can they connect with you at Oak Tree Medical Center to get screened or to book a consult.
Wednesdays, that's my big day at Oak Tree Medical Center. I'm on at the Specialty and Rehab Clinic on Collins Avenue. You can call the number. We'll put it at the bottom of the screen. And make an appointment. And yes, let's get you screened.
Awesome. This has been a great conversation. Very insightful, very educational, you know, casual enough that it's like it's easy to get through the information, but I think very informative for our listeners. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and talk with us and give some really helpful advice for those who may be listening, who either are diabetic and just need to know that. And for those who might not know that they're diabetic and they have some insight now to say, I might need to go and get myself checked out. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, awesome. So that is it for Vital Voices today. I want to send a huge thank you to Dr. Alyssa Knowles-Adderley for joining us and for her commitment to helping patients prevent complications and protect their health. Remember, your best defense is daily attention. Inspect your feet every day, top, bottom, and between the toes. Wear supportive shoes that protect against cuts and pressure, and seek medical care early if you notice any sores, color changes, or swelling. If you're living with diabetes, schedule a podiatry screening with Oak Tree Medical Center this month because it can make all of the difference. Until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.